Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They get in while the getting's good. 216-474-0092. Because I want to know why, if you believe Jameis should come back in 2025, I want to know your why. Tell me the why. It's not an attack. If you want Jameis to come back in 2025, tell me why. Because I have a theory behind it. Lima, you were going to say something. Go.
You asked a question going to break about where I think he could take the Browns. And I do think, as evidenced by what Joe Flacco was able to do, granted, we talk about weaker schedule and the quarterbacks you face that year and all that. But if the conditions are ripe, I think you could go to the playoffs again with Jameis. But I also think in play is a disaster year with him where he doesn't even make it through the year. Because of the turnovers, and you saw a little bit of everything in that game. Granted, the weather was obviously a factor, which was why it was amazing what he was able to do. But you saw that roller coaster in that fourth quarter alone,
yeah,
against the Denver Broncos, where he did everything he could to lose that game, and then he did everything he could to win that game. And so that's why it's always going to be fun watching Jameis Winston. You'll tear your hair out, but you're also going to have great moments as well.
Pittsburgh, I think you said. Sorry. He's fun. And he's not named Deshaun Watson. We had the one caller earlier, Ed Navon Lake, who basically just said it. Like, he doesn't like Deshaun Watson. He doesn't think Deshaun Watson's good. He thinks he should cut him. I do think the Browns, a lot of people have been upset with the Browns here over the last how many years over this. And it hadn't gone their way. Like, the day you kind of come out and do it, because someday it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be this day or any day actually soon. Do you come out and you kind of explain yourself and go, guys, I just wanted to win. And maybe I made a mistake. Can you admit a mistake publicly if you're Jimmy Haslam? Could you come out there and go, Sky, I just wanted to win. I saw an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I decided to take it. You can't get anything done in this league. God bless all the people who try to do it. We all know we can't get anything done in this league without a quarterback. I saw an opportunity to take a quarterback. The last time we saw him, he was gangbusters. Mm-hmm. I know that there was a lot of baggage there. I decided to make a move to try to get a quarterback.
They didn't know there'd be a historical, unprecedented drop-off from a quarterback that was playing top five to bottom.
Because, like, you and I have
it's never happened.
You and I have talked about the other issues there and what led him to make that decision. But it's like, you don't have to say any of that stuff. We know, but you're not going to. It's not going to make you any better. Yeah. But Could it buy anything with the fans?
Not as long as Baker's playing
okay,
well.
Okay, just want to ask.
I mean, I think you got to be forward-looking. But I get it. I get what you're saying because you're trying you're almost trying to send a political message. Like you're trying to go over, you know, the autopsy in this case. But as long as Baker keeps playing well, and Kenny, you called me. I know it's like getting off track here, but you called me at halftime and you're like, have you seen Baker in the first half? I'm like, yeah, I've seen Baker.
He's amazing.
He's been amazing. And they had lost 4 or 5.
You know, he's playing a team that doesn't care.
Yeah.
But let's call it what it is. I mean, he was amazing and was fun.
But here's the thing. Jameis, if you're asking, can Jameis and his existence, can he nullify some of that by playing well and doing what he's doing right now, which is giving you a chance again?
Yeah.
Even though the season is virtually lost right now, the 2024 season, he is getting guys involved. He's elevated the play of Jerry Jeudy. He's elevated the play of Tillman and even Elijah Moore. Yeah. Like now you're seeing a Kevin Stefanski offense. Maybe you can even throw Ken Dorsey in there, whatever.
I have one theory that I'm kicking around here. I want to see if anybody hits on it. 216-474-0092. Luke in Orlando, listening on the Free Odyssey app. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Luke.
Hey, guys. I live up here now, born and raised in Orlando, but live in Willoughby the last couple years. So I've got a funny seat to all this story. Bucks season ticket holder since 2013. I still got him up here.
Wow.
So I've witnessed the Jameis experience from day one. He's infectious. I mean, the fans love him, but he is what he is. He's got a very high ceiling, very low floor. I mean, I sat in the end zone for the 30 touchdown, 30 pick year. You just never know what you're going to get. If I were the Browns, I'd give him a year. I mean, let Stefanski work with them. Get him on a cheap deal and draft a guy and see what he can do. I mean, there's worse quarterbacks out there.
Yes.
He's infectious. I mean, he's going to win you some games. He's going to lose you some games. So
what makes it difficult here, Luke, is that you don't have a whole lot of money to give to a veteran guy like that. And thank you very much for the call. So the better he plays, it's almost like he prices himself out because of the money that you're tied up in the quarterback that you really don't want to play. So the better he plays, the more likely you are to lose him. But if he plays worse, then you're not going to want him back. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're a Browns fan. There's another thing that people aren't hitting on yet. I want to see if Nick and Stowe hits on it. You're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Nick.
So you guys already brought up part of my point in that he elevates, you know, the receivers out there. But then one of the other things is, he came here for Kevin Stefanski's offense. That was one of the things that, you know, going into the season, he wanted to be a part of. And so, you know, and it seems like it clicks. Like it did with Joe Flacco. I mean, he's been, over 200 yards in the four games he's played, close to 400 in some of them. He gives the production that, you know, we need to be seeing from a quarterback with all the talent that we have on the roster.
Well, do you think, and this is a sub-question, do you think that he's calling Kevin Stefanski's offense Ken Dorsey is and that Kevin Stefanski was calling Ken Dorsey's offense? I'm starting to get that feeling, Nick.
It kind of seemed like it. We saw a lot more of what I thought was Ken Dorsey's, style of play. It looked like they were trying to kind of mesh the two together, which I'm not quite sure how well that benefited anyone. But it seemed like it was a lot more spread out style of offense that Ken Dorsey ran up in New York. And then the later part of the season, it seemed a lot more Kevin Stefanski-esque. I'd say more like 80-85% with a little bit of those spread out concepts thrown in there.
Yeah, and I got to see how the rest of this season goes, Nick. Thank you very much for the call, because we've been defensive of Kevin Stefanski's play calling in years past. Now that you're being able to survey everything and oversee it and be a manager of a ball game and not have to deal with all that extra stuff, I want to see how Ken Dorsey does calling the plays. Because you have to pay attention to what the running game does up in Buffalo and how the offense does up in Buffalo without Ken Dorsey and see what it does here. Because I do think that while Kevin Stefanski seems to be good to go, according to the insiders for 2025. Are the assistants good to go? Will he take back play calling in 2025 and Ken Dorsey will go on upon his way? Will that actually happen? Like, these are things that you also have to evaluate, because Yeah, you can go 9-8 for the rest of the year and make the playoffs. It's just, it's not likely to happen by any means. So I don't want to fill up anybody's hopes. There's another thought I have here, and I got to pick on Daryl. I picked on Daryl last week, Tone, because I got mad at Daryl. Like, and we had a kind of a back and forth last week where I asked him about the draft, and I asked him about quarterbacks, and he kind of acquiesced. He goes, well, the expert. I go, Daryl, well, I'm bringing you on. I want your opinion. And Daryl and I kind of got nasty with each other for a second there. And I love Daryl, and I'm okay with the fight, so it's good. I think a lot of people are afraid of the draft. Because all you're hearing, like Jalen Milroe 2 weeks ago, pops up on the screen, and I'm fighting the whole Jalen Milroe thing. Now people are saying, well, you know what, maybe it's best if Jalen goes back for another year.
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers! Quinn Ewers, maybe it's good if Quinn Ewers transfers out. Let's Arts Manning take over after this year. He can make some money in NIL. Maybe the money he makes in NIL is going to be better than a late-round pick, something like that, with an NFL football team. Get some more seasoning with a good coach. See what happens. See if he gets the Arch Manning bump going into the next year. If we don't have that centralized figure at the top where it's like one quarterback sets the market, and you're hearing all these conversations about, you know, it's not that great of a quarterback class, I think that scares the hell out of people. And I've said this entire time, you have as well, what's going to motivate people to go to the games next year? Because it's one thing to enjoy Jameis halfway through the season, in a season that doesn't matter. You just want to be entertained. Next year, you want to go in with some expectations. You don't want to. Your time has already been wasted this year. You don't want to go for the rest of this year and just not be entertained. Jameis, good and bad, Jameis does nothing that's not entertaining. Nothing about Jameis Winston is boring. Do I want to put that all for 2025? Am I that afraid of the draft? Because if you don't take a high quarterback this year, then what's the point of taking a quarterback for the rest of it? I might think you're just wasting your picks. I might just rather have DTR and see if I'm going to develop him. That's a thought you have to have. Am I really going to convince myself that next year is Jameis's team for what I believe is going to be an entire 17-game season? That's a question that people have to answer that right now about that stuff.
Well, and I just think people want to feel good about rooting for their quarterback again, which I know it's been stated there's an irony there because Jameis Winston had some problems in his past, but we're talking, you know, over a decade ago. So he is, by all accounts, has grown from those experiences, and I think people feel good about rooting for him right now. And maybe winning a Super Bowl is taking a back seat for Browns fans with expectations where they just want to not have to defend their quarterback every single day on internet message boards and to the trash-talking Steeler and Ravens fans.
Are you guys ready to commit for an entire season? I want to know that. And 840, what did Jim Tressel think of Ryan Day's touchdown at the end of the game against Indiana? We'll find out from the Buckeye legend coming up at 840. Yeah, like there's only a handful of teams that are not in the Big 12 race. But now that they've lost three games, it's kind of like, well, it looks like you're on the outside looking in. Can you actually be... do you want to be the coach after this year? Your son's leaving. Travis Hunter's leaving. Do you really want to be the guy? And the NFL has been brought up before. And I really like... everybody knows I'm a Deion Sanders fan. And I was since I was a kid. But do I want to be the guinea pig if worse were to come to worse?
No, of course you don't.
I want to know what Daryl and Andy Baskin would think during their podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland. The cooling post-game drops after every game. Subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Brian. Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Now, that wasn't all just to fit their read in. I do hope you listen to their podcast. However, like, I'd like to watch Deion and see what Deion does with the Cowboys, because you and this is why we won't spend a lot of time on it. You wrapped it up in about 15 seconds when you were talking about him with the Cowboys.
Well, it'd be awesome. I mean, it'd be an amazing story. And I'm so tired, sick and tired of the Dallas Cowboys. But if Deion is coaching them,
yeah,
I know they're going to get all the talk shows, everything, the debate shows. The microscope's going to be on them every day. But I got to give it to Deion. Like, the microscope was certainly there for a little over a year in Colorado, and he's overachieved. Like, he wasn't supposed to really compete for national championships. Probably wasn't even really supposed to win the conference. And while they got some splash recruits, overall, like, their talent is nowhere near the upper echelon teams in college football. But they've been a really good, effective offense this year. Now, their defense couldn't stop anybody, you know, against Kansas, of all teams. Like, they had no shot. They couldn't get a stop. Did you see the story that the Kansas punter had family from Australia? Is from Australia. They came in to watch that game, and he didn't punt once.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's just their defense was the problem, and you could say, well, what's Deion doing with that defense? Yeah, Neon is not. I don't really believe Deion is, you know, the level of a coach like a Mike Vrabel, where he is getting down in the trenches and going over every aspect of what you could do on a football field. That's not really what Deion's going to do, and that's not what he would do at Dallas.
Well, his outlook is refreshing in college football. He makes a lot of sense. It refreshing to the tournament. Like, I think he's the one coach who can get away with it and have the stones to do it, because he brought it up. He goes, well, I'm just going to hit the transfer portal, and I'm going to bring in transfer portal kids, and it's not going to go. It, like we saw it last year, did not go well. But this year, I mean, 8-3, that's a good record. They've done
for
well.
Colorado?
For Colorado, yeah. That's a hell of a record. But in college football in general, 8-3 is a nice record. That's a good program there. It wouldn't be like Georgia or Ohio State or anything like that, but it's a good record. But he's explained it. He goes, out of the freshmen, he goes, now with NIL, now with the portal, if I bring in 40 freshmen, only 15 of them are actually going to play. Well, what am I doing with the other ones? They're going to develop. Who am I developing them for? Somebody else, because they're going to leave. Because I already have my freshmen going to play. I'll let somebody else develop them. I'll go get them out of the transfer portal. I'll put them in my system and they'll play. It sounds brilliant. I don't think it could compete at the highest level. You do need some development. But in a place like Colorado, sure as hell, you can go 9-3 every year and they will love you so much at Colorado University. In the NFL, you got free agency, but you don't have the portal where it's like guys can go willy-nilly wherever they want. There's a cap. I don't think it would work. I think it would get tiresome very quickly with professional athletes who have egos. The players in college football have egos, certainly. But Deion Sanders, they look to him like this is a guy who can help them out exponentially in what they want to do.
I do think an NFL locker room, I think he could get guys motivated in an NFL locker room. I think like anything, you need an upper crust quarterback. Like, I don't think he'd be a Kyle Shanahan that could deal with, like, lower quarterbacks and produce. No. Like, I think if he had a legit quarterback, I think he could win games in the NFL. I think he could go to the playoffs. I do think, you know, the distraction, you know, if anything, what'd be interesting is normally it's the owner that's a distraction there. Can you imagine if it was Deion instead?
Like, get out, distract the
guys,
distraction.
Yeah, would guys even want to talk to Jerry Jones if they have Deion to talk to and doing every interview he possibly could?
I also think, though, that as Jerry gets older, he gets more desperate. I'm trying to be morbid about this. I mean, the guy's 80, I think. You're getting closer to it. He wants his own Super Bowl. And I think for Jerry Jones or for Deion Sanders, Deion knows just how meddlesome Jerry Jones is. I mean, he played for the guy. He knows. He certainly knows. And he knows about the stories of, what is it, extension 142, where players just call on, depending on who the coach is, like with Jason Garrett, you heard the players like, all right, I'll just call the extension, and we'll find out who's right about this. Like that, talk about having your you-know-what's cut off right there in front of anybody. Like you're having a discussion with a player. Okay, I'll call Jerry, and we'll see what Jerry says. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep-and-switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deion knows that. And at first, I think Deion would have all the power in the world. But if things started to get a little tight here and there, does Jerry step in? Because it's very hard for a guy who thinks he knows football. And Jerry's picked some good players over his career. I don't think we give him enough credit
for that.
Heck
yeah, he has.
But a guy
that's an owner. By the way, I don't think he gets enough credit, close to enough credit.
It might make him more dangerous because he's dangerous enough to know something to get you somewhere where you can make a really bad decision because you've been right about a couple of decisions there. You've never had your nose rubbed in it so bad where you're like, all right, I'm out of football matters.
Jerry Jones has been a better GM than a lot of the guys that have been fired. Like, look at what's happened with the Giants.
That's true. But, like, it can be a problem where if things start to get a little rickety, is Jerry going to be more apt to jump in? And I think Dion knows that. But also, who other than Jerry would he feel comfortable with going to one of the biggest places in professional sports? I mean, Dallas, the Cowboys are the Cowboys. And if Dion's going to do it, that he's proven it at Colorado, is he going
to
go?
I don't think the pressure would get to Dion. He's one of the guys that could take that job, I don't think the pressure would be.
Not the pressure. I think that's the place he'd want to go. Like, I don't think he'd be interested in going to the Cincinnati Bengals and being their coach, even with Joe Burrow. I don't think he'd be interested in that. Dallas, Jerry World, the whole thing, I think that's where his next stop is. He's done it at Jackson State to prove himself. He did it at Colorado to prove himself. I don't think he's just going to go to Jacksonville to prove himself. I think he's going to go to the biggest of the biggest. I think that he feels in a way that, hey, I've proved it here. I'm not going to waste my time anymore. We're going to go to the biggest. And I think that Dallas, while it doesn't make sense, would make the most sense if he were actually going to try something like that. Jim Tressel, 8:40. John Greco, 8 o'clock. Should Jameis get a shot at 2025? And we've been asking the question a little bit because I've wanted to know why, and I think that a lot of people are really nervous about the draft coming up. And I was texting Dane Brugler about it even this morning, like, okay, who would you take out of this draft? And he's kind of a little bit up and down on some of these guys. And I think when people hear that, it scares the hell out of them because you already have one bad quarterback. You don't want to double it down and go further. People always want a sure thing. I want a sure thing. But I think you look at some of these guys, I don't know. Like, did people think that, except for the most ardent Daniels fans, did people think Jaden Daniels was going to be that great? And I know things have kind of settled down here and there because I think they're over their skis a bit and they're relying on Daniels a little bit too much to win some of these games. Did anybody think he was going to be that incredible coming out? I don't think so. Bo Nix. Bo Nix has good coaching around him. Bo Nix is doing a good job. Aren't the odds even right now for Offensive Rookie of the Year between him and Jaden Daniels right now?
Oh, is it really?
I think they are.
Wow.
I think that maybe either Bo Nix has overtaken him or they have the same odds for Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know who's also looked better here recently? Bryce Young.
Yeah, yes.
Has looked a little bit better. And does it always have to be just an out-and-out disaster? Or now that we're quarterbacks are... There's very, very few of them that are really good. We went from a league 10 years ago where it seemed like these quarterbacks were throwing 5,000 yards apiece. You had great QBs putting it on everybody. Can you get outside of three quarterbacks where you're not starting to ask questions about these guys? Three. Right off the top of your head. And then you're starting to go, is this guy this? Is that? Like C.J. Stroud. People are coming after C.J. Stroud this year. Sophomore slump. Has he been exposed? I'm thinking, well, no, I think Bobby Slowick has to open up the offense a little bit more and do some things differently he's going to get his quarterback
think
killed
about
because
how
of that offensive line.
Jordan Love ended his season last year. And this year, 18 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Like, he still flashes amazing talent. But last year, we all just, the groupthink of the NFL was like, oh, my God, Stroud and Love, they're the next Joe Burrow. Like, they are going to take that mantle. That shows you it's not that easy. Not necessarily linear.
Yes, and one part of it, I do believe that we're getting tired of mentioning Patrick Mahomes all the time. I think we do that. I think it's almost analysis where it's almost paralysis where we just sit there and go, all right, it's Mahomes, and then it's everybody else, and I think we get tired of saying the same great things about Mahomes. So we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. But it's also that type of theory that when things do start to go sour eventually, because they go sour everywhere, and they will go sour someday in Kansas City, probably later than sooner, we'll give them a little bit more extra time because they've done it in the past, because they've proven us wrong in the past. Same way they did with the Patriots. I mean, you could see the wrinkles on the Patriots a few years ago. Well, they still got Belichick. Okay, but do they have anything else? Do they not have their quarterback? No. You've seen what the Patriots have become. I mean, they're the blind leading the blind right now. So you got to get yourself out from that level, because right now you're at that level. You're at Patriots level. You're 3-8. It was a great win on Thursday.
You just said the blind leading the blind, and I'm like, don't we have the same record as the Patriots? Actually, they have one more loss.
And I said you're at the same level. So you got to figure out how to get out of it. Is Cam Ward going to fix all that? No. Not right off the top, but it's not going to be building a day, but you're not going to do any of this without a quarterback that people can get behind and that you can trust, or you have coaches that you can trust to coach them
up. You
know,
I'm being more open-minded, though, with rookies. I know maybe this isn't the class to do it, but I didn't think – you mentioned Jaden Daniels. Like you said, well, Cam Ward, could he do it? No. I don't know. Maybe these guys are more capable than ever before of stepping right into the NFL the way the league is today. It's not the league that, you know, we knew from our younger days watching the NFL. Like, rookies can come in immediately and have some chops. Like, they even Drake May has had moments where you're like, wow, holy cow, I didn't think he could be on this level. Like, yeah. They're only 3-9, but he's had some games where he's outplayed the other quarterback.
Tom in Wellington, home of the Dukes. You're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Tom.
Hey, one of the reasons I think you kind of keep Jameis a little bit here is, you know, you kind of let him go and not blow up the team. And when we get into the draft, if we're worried about a quarterback, why don't we build the foundation? Let's look at our tackles, our defensive ends, you know, anything there, and not go through another Tim Couch thing, right? Where, hell, we had the – excuse my language, sorry.
You're fine.
We had the quarterback. We had the quarterback, but he got beat up. So let Jameis kind of just still keep the program running, right? And then maybe we make the playoff. Maybe we're entertaining, but we don't go in a total blow up. And then economically, it sucked for Haslam. No one's going to go to the stadium. You know, I just think if you keep him there, you're not, you know, pushing the button and blowing the whole thing up for years to come.
Yeah, because you also have to. I think it's a year by year thing right now. If we're talking about jobs, and we do with everybody, so it's maybe this isn't as profound as I think it is, Tom. And thank you very much for the call. We're really in a year-by-year situation with Stefanski and Barry. So Andrew Barry has to make a decision that while he wants to be comfortable in his job, are you trusting Jameis Winston to get you to 2026? Are you trusting him to do that? And if you can, then fine. God bless you. You got to do yourself a lot of talking into here with six games left to go. And maybe by the end of the year, he will be feeling that way. But also, it's like, okay, where do I leave myself an out? Because you left yourself no outs with Deshaun Watson. You gave yourself one with Joe Flacco. That's gone. You couldn't bring him back for umpteen reasons. While we all hated it, and I agree with you guys, you knew it was going to happen. Now, hey, that's all done. We don't need to bring him back this year. We have to keep him somewhere because of the schedule or because of the contract. I don't need to do that this year. So is Jameis that guy? Can Jameis get me A? Because if you were going to do it last year with Joe Flacco, you're probably looking at even a quarterback this year. But you didn't have a first-round pick. So that's out the window. So now you didn't have that option. Now you do. Can you keep Jameis, quarterback X? Can you keep Jameis, DTR? Do you feel that strongly about DTR? Because Watson has to figure into that mix somewhere.
I don't know how anybody could have an opinion on
at least
DTR
as of right now.
Right now.
I wish I could tell you. I think that he's...
Well, that's getting back to...
He's a fine young man.
I thought they were going to...
Show some promise, but not starting quality.
I thought they were going to move to DTR, you know, a couple weeks ago. So the fact that they haven't, it is interesting. Like, what are they... You would have thought it would have been a twofold reason for moving to DTR. One is, if he's just bad and you lose games, that's better for your draft pick, mm-hmm. right? And the other is, if he's good... And either hangs in games and loses, still good, or if he wins games, now you're making a case that a young guy has some potential. Like Jameis, yes. We know what Jameis is.
He's 30.
So that's the DTR case. I'm a little surprised they didn't go with that. Now, would that have robbed you of how special the other night was? Yeah, but, you know, if you're thinking big picture and not in the micro, and you would think an analytics group, a front office like that, would be looking big picture.
I think we have an idea what our answer is. We just don't want to give the full answer yet on DTR. John Greco at 8 o'clock. I want to discuss that a little bit more coming up. And we're hosting Thanksgiving dinner, folks. We're not opening up a kennel. Fix my life next on the fan. I'm trying to keep the innocent, so I'm going to say they live in Wellington.
They don't live in Wellington.
Just because I want to throw up people off the scent, literally here. So his sister is coming up from a city south of us. I'm going to say Dayton.
It ain't Dayton.
And her husband and her are staying in a, they have a camper. It's almost like the situation, Owen. It's almost like Christmas.
Well, that's what I said when you texted me yesterday. I said, yeah, I saw this one.
So they're going to stay at a state park and like visit during the holiday. Okay, great. It's his sister, right? There's a problem here. The weather is, you maybe felt the weather this morning. The weather's changing. And it's supposed to be ugly over the weekend. Snow, rain, what have you. Just in time for us to go to Burton for the parade, eh, Tone? So it's supposed to be ugly. So she calls him and she goes, hey, kind of a change of plans. Okay, what's up? And he tells me that she said, well, they want to drive up, but instead of staying in their RV in a park, they want to stay at their house, which would probably be fine. He's got a big house. He does very well for himself. There's a problem. It's her, her husband, and four dogs. Four dogs. Not dogs like Jenny, like my dog. Like she's 5 pounds and she will always be 5 pounds. These are dog dogs. These are real big dogs that eat, fart, go to the bathroom, stink.
Shed.
And I've always had a rule. I love animals until they run the household. I can't allow a dog to run the household. And we've all been in that house where the animals are ruling the roost and you can't get out of there fast enough. I remember I stayed at a house one time in Jamestown, New York. I was working at this station years ago. And I went over to my buddy's uncle's house and the dogs ruled the roost. And it was not a fun experience that night. Not fun at all. And I just think about the dogs ruling the roost there. What do you say to your sister if she wants to bring up her husband and four dogs? Can you just tell your sister no?
Yeah, I think...
Four dogs.
I think you can. I mean, unless you are a big time...
Not three, not one, not none.
Unless
four.
You're a big time dog person and there are always random dogs in your home and you've got neighbors and family members and other people always bringing dogs by. Because the reality is, as I've gotten older, what is incredible to me, I do not have a dog, but I have a cat, and
Milo.
One of my best friends is allergic to cats, so that's an issue. Dogs, I feel like there's even more people allergic to dogs the more and more as I've gotten older. Like, having four of them, it just creates such, not only a distraction.
There's a lot of dander.
It changes the ecosystem in the entire home.
Oh, yes. Owen, what does he say?
Yeah, that's a no. I'm sorry. I mean, well, like... No, just from the whole, okay, I'm not, you and I differ on our thoughts of pets in general anyway. I'm not a big, like they're a pet. They are a guest in the home. They do not.
Oh, you know, yeah, I treat them like a member of the family.
I'm not, we're different. I treat them like an animal. But, you know, we have a dog and I love her. At the same time, my problem, and even with her, and she's gotten better as we have taken care of her coat and stuff, I cannot do the shedding. I cannot stand the shedding. We changed out the floor in the house and the color was picked because of when she does shed, it won't show up as much.
Yeah.
If you're bringing four of these animals into your house that are going to just, and if the weather's not great, they have to go outside. Yep. It's not like they have a box.
No, oh, gosh, they're going to be tracking all
that.
They've
got to have endless towels.
You've got 30 minutes of paw detail every time they go out.
The holidays are already stressful enough. I can't imagine, because they already have a dog. So you have one dog already. They're dog sizable. I sent you the video of the dog humping the pillow during the playoff game.
Oh, of course.
Because that's all you had left to do was hump a pillow during that game. But also, four other dogs coming in. So now you're introducing foreign dogs to the dog's house. I mean, you're asking for problems.
So they still have dogs. So there would be five dogs in there.
Five, yes, altogether five large dogs.
No.
What do you say?
See you on Christmas.
But aren't you going to run into the same problem? The weather ain't going to get any better.
See you on Arbor Day.
The weather might be a little bit better on Arbor Day.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
How do you say it, though, to your sister? If you only got one sister.
That is the hard thing. Like, even in talking, we're talking about the responsibility of having four dogs.
Who gets off saying that they're going to bring them and their four dogs
like,
anyway?
Depending on when they... Maybe you can work out a deal where you go, hey, I found a very nice pet spa for them to stay at for the next couple days while you're up. If you need to bring them up so that they're close. But that can't happen.
What were you going to say?
Oh, just that we don't even have one dog. And in talking about one dog, part of the issue is, what are we going to do when we travel? What are we going to do as we get older and we have to be here or there and everything? So to have four of them, I mean, you can't rely on other people to take care of four dogs. No. So the four dogs are going with you everywhere. And now you're kind of imposing on everywhere you go, on everybody and everywhere you want to take the dogs.
Yeah. Can they bring the camper just for the dogs? They stay inside the house.
Every situation I've ever heard of dogs being left alone in campers turned terrible. Granted, I've only seen Christmas Vacation, but that situation had turned terrible with Snots. That's one dog. I can't imagine leaving four dogs in a camper. What do you do? Do you put it out in the driveway? Then you hear those dogs barking their ass off in the driveway. Then you basically become the Bumpuses for the weekend. You can't. If it tore the family apart, I would put it on her, and I would probably say, "You got some nerve to even call up and ask to bring up four dogs
the weekend to the Christmas Story house and."
Go, the neighbor of the Christmas Story house.
You want
authentic experience.
They own the Bumpus house too, so.
That's true. But they're not bloodhounds or Rottweilers. Now, I don't know what type they are, so I wish I could tell you.
God almighty.
I want to see what he does. I'll let you guys know on Monday. Because it's going to be an awkward thing. He doesn't know how to tell her no. He wants to tell her no. He should tell her no in some fashion. I would lie and say someone in the house is sick and we're canceling Thanksgiving. And then just get rid of all the pictures. Coming up. 8 o'clock, next, John Greco. Should Jameis get a shot in 2025? And a very respectful conversation about Nick Chubb's future.